Well, now we're approaching the moment we've been aiming toward in the time that we've been sitting here. We would like to take these principles and talk more specifically about how they apply in our Messianic fellowships. For many of us, we've got church backgrounds, and usually, but not always, they're larger organizations. And it seems that some of these personal issues might not be quite so visible. It's easier to be invisible in the pew, maybe, is the way to put it.
Well, you can get lost in a crowd.
You can get lost in a crowd.
And you can sit in the back pew, so as soon as the service is done, you're out the door.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Exactly. And any relationships that that you form, you can choose the depth of the relationship that you want it to go to. So you can keep it very surface level if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
And then and not worry about these complicated things.
Well, how would this be different then from those larger church kind of congregations to a house fellowship? Because we have many, many house fellowships, not necessarily messianic, but house fellowships that are meeting in people's homes, and they might be only three or four families. How do you think that that's different? Why would that be harder?
A whole lot more personal.
And you can't hide things.
It's a lot harder to hide, yes.
Yeah, you can't hide things like you can in a large group.
And then you get in a group like this that specifically prays for things to be exposed.
Yeah, fully exposed.
Fully exposed.
As she looks at Janelle.
Janelle prays that often.
I was directed to pray that way specifically. I was told to pray to fully expose things. So that was our commander-in-chief doing that. Mm-hmm. And I have been faithful, and he has been faithful in exposing this stuff.
Mm-hmm. And what happens?
Growth.
Oh, but not until we go through some difficulty first.
Yeah.
But, yes.
Yeah, our theme song, I'm growing. I don't like it. I'm growing, and it hurts.
Who is it that did that song?
Wayne Watson.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I think Going Home CD, if anybody wants to check that out. So now we're talking about in our fellowships, and here we have been developing a halakha, which involves being open, which involves actually understanding that people are going to get to know one another and really understand one another and hold people accountable from time to time.
And not always be very happy with one another at times.
Yeah. Or be very happy with holding somebody accountable.
Yeah. All those things. Because, you know, we've got this sort of popular understanding of what love is, and it's all this warm, fuzzy stuff, which we now understand is only part of the picture.
Right.
So we now have been moving in this direction, and we do want to encourage other people in fellowships to move in this direction. Why would we want to encourage them? Because when somebody new comes, they may not understand what we're doing.
That's usually the case. Very few people understand what we are doing when they come to our group the first time. And we have... Oh, we as leadership with Set Apart Ministries have struggled with that. What do we do? And, you know, at first, I still remember the first situation where a man said to us, oh, I'll be under your authority. And Barb and I are like, no, we don't want that responsibility. But
we're all under Yeshua.
We're under Yeshua.
That should be enough, we thought.
That should be enough, but there were a lot of situations that happened with that particular individual. He really did want to push his own agenda, which was not what we know Yeshua has given us. Yeshua has given us our purpose, and we understand what we are supposed to be doing under his headship, and what this individual wanted to be going on didn't go along with what we understand Yeshua wants.
Our mission statement,
mm-hmm. Yeah, to be. We came to understand that we do need to have the authority in our group.
Mm-hmm.
The leaders do.
Mm-hmm.
And
how do we keep leaders from being persecutors or rescuers?
Teach them about the trauma triangle.
Yes. And also have them read the codependency book.
So, and the life
and
model.
And the maturity
model,
yes.
Because it is very easy to slip into those roles and unless you understand particularly what we're talking about tonight, this drama triangle, with these specific roles, it's very easy to slide into them and not know it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you discussed before, Barb, about how one of the things is the backward learning process. And I've been in this situation before. I'm recognizing it now. I'm not going to go there again, so I'm going to do this instead. And that's what leaders have to keep in mind, the restoration and the discipline aspects, if discipline is appropriate, not the persecuting and not the rescuing. And sometimes that's a fine line depending upon the person that you're dealing with. You know, what maturity level is that person at? How is that person perceiving what leadership is telling him? Or what, if any, disciplinary actions need to be put in place? How is that perceived? Maybe that person is very wounded and not very mature, and I'm not talking strictly age here. I'm talking about emotionally, mentally, spiritually. They could be perceiving it as pure punishment, mm-hmm. and not a means to restore and build up.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's try to be more specific on that, because I think that really is a big issue. We've talked about our community knows more about maybe psychological healing than maybe some other communities do, because mm-hmm. that's part of our roots. But we know that that's important because God has designed us with mind, will, and emotions. That's part of our soul. And so we do understand that we need to pay attention to that and bring it under the authority of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach. Yes. And that seems like it's kind of an unusual understanding for a lot of people. They tend to think that I've been born again, I'm born anew in the Spirit, and therefore I don't have to do anything else. And so when we say, wait a minute, we're seeing this evidence or this and this and this in behavior, and we really want to address that, and we come at it with willingness and hopefully, you know, willingness and ability and wanting to dedicate some time to sort out what's happening here so that we can allow that person to grow as well as us to grow in dealing with it. But people instead perceive it as we're being mean.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or we're having too much expectation.
Or too controlling.
And weren't we told once that understanding these things was our theology?
Yes.
You know, that we paid too much attention to this, that all we needed to know was that the Holy Spirit is in charge and that should be enough. And I think anybody that hears that knows that that's really not the case. At this point, and I guess my understanding for that, I keep working at honing that, is that because we are immature, because we are living in a fallen, broken world, because sin has such a grip on us, we are not where we need to be. And each person is personally in relationship with Messiah, and each person's submission to him is going to be at a different level of understanding. So how well they can hear him and how well they interpret what he's saying is going to have a bearing on how much unity we can have out of that. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And if everybody could hear and discern and act equally well, that, you know, that will be, amen, that'll be what it's like when we're in Messiah's presence. Mm-hmm. There's not going to be any strife like this at that mm-hmm. time. But until then, so how do we deal with that then? If a new person comes and they're eager and they're excited, they want to be with us, and all of a sudden we start seeing something, or they start seeing something that they don't like, what happens?
There's a major struggle because they see that they're at a different place than we are, because they're probably struggling with things that we struggled with before, and they're not at the place that we're at. Mm-hmm. And then when we maybe try to talk to them or mm-hmm. work with them, they get offended.
Mm-hmm. How about this for an example, if this is kind of what you're talking about? Somebody in our community has an issue, and usually it's me, but somebody else might hold them accountable. And somebody who's newer would see that, and they might interpret it how? In light of the victim, persecutor, rescuer triangle.
Well, I'm reminded of a situation that happened in our community. Barb, if you remember Marilyn, or we had just gotten a new Paul Wilbur CD, and you really were not feeling well that day at all.
Right.
And in fact, I think you had a really bad headache, and and the
percussion was really
percussion,
loud.
It was loud, and it was just grating on your ears, and there was a flare-up between you and Marilyn, and it even took me by surprise, because I remember the three of us were standing off to the side, but another newer member had overheard that exchange, and but she stopped because she became fearful. What she did not see and hear was how the two of you immediately resolved it, and you know, the relationship was not damaged, the relationship stayed strong, and the issue was resolved. But she didn't see that portion, and she reacted in fear. And whoa, is this the kind of leadership that I want to be around with? Because she didn't see the rest that was going on there.
And how we work through those issues, those kinds of things. When you're in close community, those kind of situations are going to arise when you're close to people. And I think all of us have, in one way or another, but we have learned how to talk them through.
Yeah, and Marilyn, you and I knew Barb was not feeling well, but this other woman didn't know that. All she saw was, you know, a flare-up and a disagreement about the kind of worship music. And
in fact, I think I'd left the room because I didn't want to stay for it because it was hurting my ears.
Yes, because it hurt so bad,
So that was the, that was how it got started.
Yeah.
But and she saw that, and she, and right away she thought, well, how could she be so mean? How could Barb be so mean? And where's the love in this group? And she just totally could not understand how a confrontation even can be a loving thing. And and then even within that next couple of months, when something would come up, she would try to be the rescuer. And it, you know, I see some of that, the Cartman Triangle getting in there, where she was trying to rescue. And it ended up being causing division.
Yes,
it did. She was trying to rescue what she saw you as a persecutor. And the, you know, at that point, a couple months later, it was something that you were confronting me about. And she, you know, and I played into that to a certain degree of being a victim, and you know, and was struggling with that myself, as feeling, you know, like you were being mean to me, and and she, we kind of both got drawn into that, her rescuing, and and then that ended up causing division within the community. That
yes,
was
it did. And that's where, for me too, I have the accountability of Janelle and Marilyn to work for me, because I don't want to be interpreted in that situation. So I bounce things off of them to keep my balance at all times, and I need that, and I want that accountability. And if a leader is not willing to have accountability in some way, they're not going to be able to withstand these kinds of triangulation. They'll get, as what's the phrase? People have been saying, you get drawn into it, you get sucked into it. And then we also have situations where somebody is, I've kind of characterized it as a wounded bird. You know, they need help. But even a little wounded bird, when you try to take it in your hands, they bite and they scratch, because they don't know that your intent is good.
Exactly.
Because and there's so, fear and pain, and there's, you know, the understanding isn't there.
And if we, if we're going for the sort of warm, fuzzy, codependent kind of love that we thought that's what God's love is, and that's what, you know, that's what relationships should be like, if there are situations where there's a line or a boundary and people are held accountable, people think that's being mean.
And that's when the whole drama triangle starts getting into play. And then sides are formed. The division, like you said, Lori, can start. Lashon hara, the, you know, the evil tongue, the talking. Instead of going to the people involved and saying, what went on there? And, you know, if I have questions about a situation, I need to go to the people involved and say, what happened there?
Because they're seeing it through their eyes and not necessarily through the truth of what is actually going on.
Well, that's, and that's where the maturity comes in, too, into play. Because, and I know at that point, you know, I was struggling with a lot, and without realizing, I was doing some of that sabotaging. that mm-hmm. you were talking about, because I was thinking, you know, I was feeling like, you know, why you weren't responding like I wanted you to.
Oh, really?
Yeah. and I was thinking, you know, why are you being so mean? And I was looking for a rescuer.
Mm-hmm. And you found one.
And I found one. I found a couple of them even, you know. But that didn't help. It ended up... But then when I was trying to pull out of that and trying to deal with the situation...
In a reasonable way. And you did.
But it was still not easy, was it?
No.
And we still went through several months of struggle mm-hmm. after mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. Because I was still reacting in an immature way. I was still not understanding. I was still fighting it still, you mm-hmm. know, and I was trying to deal with it, but yet not accepting the boundaries that were there, that needed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not understanding. I mean, it got to a point where, well, you know, got to that point where like, it, yeah, how do I say this? Too many times I've had where if I continue to struggle and we just end up going in circles where you're trying to explain to me, this is, you know, this is where it needs to be. And I'd say, but why, or whatever. And I'd continue to struggle. And it would get to a point where you would say, well, that's all we can do. And that's, I've said all I can say.
And I refer you to Yeshua.
Yes, and I commend you to Yeshua.
We need to be in prayer, all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Which to me is like, oh yeah, now you just gave up on me. You know?
Oh.
But, you know, when you would say that, I commend you to Yeshua. But now I've come to understand. And that's from the immature understanding. Well, I guess she just gave up on me. You know, no, yeah, that's just another way of saying I quit.
Mm-hmm.
But
not understanding how much prayer goes behind that,
right?
And how much time Marilyn and Janelle and I have spent coordinating and understanding
mm-hmm.
what's going on here to prevent any further damage,
right?
You know, where we've
not just further damage in the immediate relationships, but as well as for the community.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And
part of what you're describing, I think, too, is distortions. That when people have been in victim, persecutor, rescuer relationships most of their life, or they've had severe trauma, there is something called cognitive distortions, where the person speaking to them may be speaking clearly and cleanly, but between their mouth and the other person's ears, it's like it flips over and they hear it, perceive it as an attack,
mm-hmm.
or they perceive it as something that it really isn't.
Yeah.
Or you're just being like everybody else in my life. That's hurt me.
And it doesn't really have to be a severe trauma that's happened. It could be any situation where, for whatever reason, this is what happened. I understand this lesson from that situation,
right?
But it's a distorted lesson. It's not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, any similar situation, then I'm viewing that through that distorted, that lie that I'm thinking really is a truth.
Mm-hmm.
I never had that happen.
No. Well, good for you, Carla.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
You were the first.
Let's see, what was that about truth?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, one of the other situations, as we said, with new people is such a difficult thing, because particularly for Messianic fellowships, maybe it is that way for home fellowships too, I can't speak to that, but they're so excited to find somebody of like mind. Mm-hmm. And there's just sort of a honeymoon period of, oh, I'm so glad we found you, and we're so glad you found us. And there's just all kinds of excitement, and we're eager to encourage and teach someone. But all of a sudden, we start finding that their expectations are a little bit different. Or they really hope that we would handle something this way, and instead we're handling it that way. And we've had situations where people have come in, and they do have our boundaries, because we do now speak with people ahead of time.
Yes.
And we do give them some written expectations about, you know, how we do things. And we do ask them to indicate that they're willing to accept feedback from us as leadership if we see issues. And still, we'll have people come in and then want something to be done this way. And in the situation I'm thinking of, instead of being upfront with that, what the new people did was then go find somebody else who was fairly new, and they tried to sort of get them on the bandwagon so that together we can go and effect change over this whole organization. Mm-hmm. Do you see a victim, persecutor, rescuer triangle there?
What you want to address it? Okay. Okay. I'm not sure if this is exactly accurate, but the initial people who wanted things to be handled a different way, basically put themselves into a rescuer position, a victim position, and drew somebody else into that, and pointed the finger at you or the organization as the persecutor.
Right, us as leadership, we were not responding to their need.
Exactly. So you then, the organization, became the persecutor, they became the victim, and the second part of it was drawn in, actually was drawn into the victimization as a rescuer too, in a sense, because teamed up together, they were rescuing each other when they came before the leaders to say, we need something different here. This isn't, we'd like you to do this differently than you've been doing it. So they played two roles there, in a sense, rescuer to each other. And I think in some ways they probably thought they were rescuing the rest of the community too, because they had an idea of how they thought things should be handled.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So, I mean, they that rescuer role went a lot of directions, but also as victims too. They presented themselves as victims in a sense too, because they weren't getting their needs met or things weren't handled the way they wanted them.
The way they wanted
them. Right.
Yeah.
And did we see anybody else getting pulled into that with them? Do you remember the situation?
Yeah, I think there was some pulling in to it.
And then it becomes divisive, you're on this side or you're on that side. And how do we bring restoration to that? Because nobody wants to bring what the proverbial dirty laundry, all out in front of everybody.
It caused some Lashon Harai also, I believe.
Yeah. And so then there's things that are whispered around rather than brought into the light. And it takes a time to restore that kind of damage too. Our hope and our joy is that we're seeing that people are stronger and they don't get pulled into these things as easily.
Right.
They're better at recognizing, wait a minute, been here, done that. If you have a problem with somebody, then you probably ought to go talk to them rather than talking about it to other people. And that right there will cause a much less damage, because it can be nipped in the bud before it brings so much division into the community.
Yeah, and especially with like the murmurings and whisperings, that type of thing, the Lashon Hara, it's so hard to pin down. Leadership is like, oh, something's just not quite right here, but don't know what it is. I'm not sure what's going on, but I really know something's going on. And so it's hard to track it back
until people are willing to bring it into the light.
Until they're willing to bring it into the light, and then things can be openly addressed, especially with the person who initiated the whisperings and the murmurings.
But there are going to be disagreements, aren't there?
Yes.
Yes.
Because we are in unity, not in uniformity.
Exactly.
So in that situation, then there would be a lot of distortion and a lot of misunderstandings.
There could be.
Well, yeah. And then, people, I think in our group, we're getting to the point where we're working closer at getting things done quicker to bring it into the light.
Yes. But there again, it takes that commitment of time,
which
is more time than if you just let things lie. But what happens if we have unresolved issues, which is common in most organizations? This person or that person is upset with somebody else, and they just say, well, it's okay, I'm just going to let it lie. But what happens? The quality of that relationship changes. And then pretty soon the quality of the whole relationship changes, of the whole community.
It's like the bad apple.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, put a bad apple into a bushel of apples, and the apples that are surrounding that apple are going to start going bad too. They take on the characteristics of that other apple. Mm-hmm. And if you don't stop that, if you don't remove the bad apple or deal with that situation, the rest of the apples can be affected too. And that's how the congregation is too.
And that just opens the door wide to Satan and, you know, to get in there and cause even more damage.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we recently had a consultation with a fellowship that had the opposite situation. They had a history of having new people come, and they would do the proverbial bend over backwards to try to make them feel welcome and accommodate them and do whatever they needed. But over a fairly short period of time, they started noticing some expectations, and this person was basically coming in saying, well, now that I'm here, I need to be on your board, and I need to be a decision maker, and I need to overview and oversight for what you do, and I expect you to give that to me because that's the role I want to play in your community. And so they began to recognize what they called the little red hen mentality. This was what they said, you know, recognizing we're running around trying to make this person happy because we want them to be happy in our community. But in the process, we're starting to feel really miserable because this isn't how we do things. And in the past, every time they ran into that situation, it ended badly and everybody felt bad and there was a lot of pain. This time they recognized the victim, persecutor, rescuer triangle and they took some different steps. Can anybody describe what different step you would take in that situation?
Well, I know instead of trying to bend over backwards to conform the community to a new person's expectations, you know, leadership really needs to take that person, that new person, aside and say, you know, this is our community and this is what our way is. This is our purpose. This is how we do things. Certainly leaving things open for discussion.
Yes.
In case there is a valid concern and a valid reason for change, that, you know, leaders still need to be open to that because we aren't perfect. But the community cannot change for every new person that comes in.
Mm-hmm. Even when we're excited about new members and growing and having larger numbers?
Because, you know, Yeshua, I know, especially with our community, and I'm sure this is with every other community, Yeshua has given a purpose for that portion of the body. Mm-hmm. And unless we stay faithful to that, you know, unless it is the Lord, it will not stand. And if a community is going to be, you know, swaying this way and that way, every single new person that comes in, what are they standing on? They're standing on man's expectations and not Messiah's purpose and expectation.
So in that situation, who would you see in the victim role? Who would you see in the persecutor role? Who would you see in a rescuer role?
I would see the individual that came in and said, I expect this, I expect that, I expect this, to be, I would think, the persecutor, making demands, manipulating, threatening perhaps in a way, because
I have all these skills and I can bring a lot to your community.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't do things like this, I'm going to leave. And then you'll be without me. So I can see persecutor. I can also see the rescuer. You've got things that are wrong. Now I'm here to help you. I'm here to change you because these things are so wrong in your community, according to my opinion. Mm-hmm. So I see that happening. I see then the community, the leadership, the little red hen mentality, like you said, that they first took, running around, also in the rescuer, because we have to keep peace here at any cost.
Right, and he's a part of the body, and we want him here, and where else would he go?
Yeah, and we got to have that person here. So I can also see the victim role there. You know, I guess we do need, maybe we aren't doing things right. Wow, maybe, you know, maybe this person you know, knows what he's talking about. But at the same time, this person's new. They don't know his maturity level, mm-hmm. or maybe they have hints at it. They don't know, depending how long that person is with them, have they tested the spirit that's in that person? You know, is it of the same spirit?
Are their goals similar?
Yeah. If somebody comes in with a personal agenda to a community, that's, you know, that's not necessarily a God-given mm-hmm. agenda.
Carly, you've got an observation on that, too.
What I was observing is maybe this person coming in has got a lot of fear, and he could be like a victim-type person, too, but maybe his agenda is sabotaging. Maybe he's set up to come in and do a sabotage thing mm-hmm. to cause that community to go into division and strife.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And maybe not even consciously.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's something that yeah. communities have to keep in mind, the spiritual warfare that's out constantly
exactly.
there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That you need to be aware that the enemy can come in and in a very sly way, mm-hmm. trying to use people that... You know, even people that have been around for a while, that the enemy yeah, sometimes
can
get in.
He can use that in your own community. Mm-hmm. He can use one of your own people to sabotage and hurt somebody else.
And I need to flesh that out a little bit. What do you mean by Satan coming in and using people? Because that's that warfare concept. You
yeah.
know? Even in the Christian community,
yes.
not a lot of people are really familiar with that. And yeah, in the Messianic yeah. fellowships, a lot aren't either.
Well, there's a couple different ways that come to mind right away. I know when I'm operating in the flesh, I'm a big target for use.
Mm-hmm.
Until I can, you know, release that to Yeshua and that he can come in and clean that out. But then we also know, according to the parables, that there are tares.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that wherever the master sows the wheat, that the enemy comes along and sows tares in that same field.
Mm-hmm.
And they grow up amongst the wheat.
And they look just like the wheat.
They look just like the wheat until the fruit yeah. starts to appear.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know that there are tears, and it's painful to think that in our community we could have a tear come in, yet that's what scripture says, that's what Yeshua has told us happens.
Yes.
So we should not be taken by surprise if you know that is exposed, and I think it's part of the reason to you know pray fully expose yes. things, not mm-hmm. just only mm-hmm. in ourselves
yes.
but in case there is anything else there.
Large.
And it doesn't mean that we rip that tear out of the community.
Right. In fact, Yeshua said, do not.
Do not do that.
Do not pull out the tear.
Because it could damage the
yeah,
true
people.
Wheat.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to be aware of it mm-hmm. so it can mm-hmm. be contained. So that, just like your bad apple example, Marcia,
mm-hmm.
that it doesn't, you know, start spreading throughout the community.
Right. And you're keeping an eye out for the fruit.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. In our community, too, we've also experienced this, that we know intentionally that some of the people who have been with us have this kind of spiritual warfare or dynamic going on, and we have welcomed them in prayerfully because they have expressed some desire to come through that. And so we have stood with people who have spiritual issues and with hope of restoration. And sometimes there's been a great turnaround and we've been able to work through that and we're just delighted. And sometimes the person has the remorse for doing things that are not good, but not necessarily the real repentance, the desire to turn from what they were doing to a new way.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't want to leave the impression that we would be only looking for pure, perfect people. Because
no.
we haven't found
if we were,
it.
We'd be a very, very small group. Aren't we?
Yeah. Group of zero.
But just like we know that Yeshua can give us assignments through his spirit, those tares that are out there also receive assignments, but not from the set-apart spirit.
Mm-hmm.
They receive it from Satan, the enemy. And we know that Satan is described by Yeshua as the father of lies, mm-hmm. a murderer mm-hmm. from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And he comes to steal and to destroy.
Yeah.
So,
and disguised as an angel of light, yes, looking good.
Looking mm-hmm. good.
And we do understand that, that disguise and that duplicity is a real danger of this age. As yes. we are nearing the end and the time of Messiah's return, that there will be many who look good.
Lying signs mm-hmm. and wonders.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But underneath, there is a different agenda.
Yes.
And the people themselves may not even be aware.
Exactly.
You know, they can be seeking the truth and seeking good.
Mm-hmm.
But because of whatever issues in their lives, they had left themselves open and are still being used by the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be manipulating things in a way without even knowing that they're doing it.
They're not even aware they're not even aware.
Right.
So that's why we always pray in our group for Yahweh to reveal truth
mm-hmm.
and to reveal any of the darkness and bring it out in the open.
Mm-hmm. And what that we find
is,
yes, and it's not that weakens us because there's trouble.
Right.
It's a struggle, but when we come through, we're stronger for it.
Yes, we are.
And that's the joy. And that's what we're hoping to encourage other communities to be able to find that joy.
Yes. Pray, stay, and don't run away.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. No matter how hard it gets.